Will you please turn to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 2. We'll read the first four verses. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. For this reason, we should give heed more abundantly to the things we have heard, lest in any way we should slip away. For if the word which was spoken by angels was heard, and every transgression and disobedience received just retribution, how shall we escape if we have been negligent of so great salvation, which having had its commencement in being spoken of by the Lord, has been confirmed to us by those who have heard, God bearing besides witness with them to it, both by signs and wonders, and various acts of power, and distributions of the Holy Spirit, according to His will. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we do sense that we are standing on holy ground, because we are before one who is so holy and who makes us holy. Lord, we just pray that Thou will once again breathe upon Thy written word and make it living and operative in our lives. We do want to see Jesus. We do want to follow Him. We do want to glorify Him. Lord, we commit this time into Thy hands. We ask Thy blessing. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen. The book of Hebrews is a letter of exhortation. We find at the end of this book, in chapter 13, verse 22, the author himself tells us what this letter is all about. He said, I beseech you, brethren, to bear with the word of exhortation. In a few words, I have written this to you. So we know that the book of Hebrews is a letter of exhortation. It is written to the Hebrews. And historically speaking, these Hebrews were Hebrew Christians in the first century. They were Hebrews because they were sons of Abraham. Now we know Abraham is the first Hebrew because the word Hebrew simply means cross the river. Abram used to live in Ur of Chaldea, but he crossed the river Euphrates. He answered the call of God and he entered into the promised land of Canaan. So Abraham was the first Hebrew. And those children of Abraham, they are called Hebrews. But here you find this letter was not just written to Hebrews, the Jewish people only. They were actually written to the Hebrew Christians, believers. They have crossed the river from Judaism into Christianity. And brothers and sisters, in a spiritual sense, we who believe in the Lord Jesus, we are the sons of Abraham. The believing ones and the believing Abraham are one. So in a spiritual sense, this letter is written to us. We have also been brought through the river, out of the world, into Christ Jesus. And therefore, we believe this letter is written to us. And it is written for our exhortation. Now, brothers and sisters, we know that exhortation has two meanings. On the one hand, exhortation is encouragement. This is the positive side. On the other hand, exhortation is warning. This is the negative side. And these two constitute an exhortation. Now, this letter of Hebrews is full of exhortations. As a matter of fact, you will find at least 5 very clear exhortations, and probably 6, the concluding one. And it is written in such a way that either it first gives us a tremendous revelation, a truth, or a truth or a revelation will follow an exhortation, or an exhortation will be put between 2 great revelations. And this is the way the book of Hebrews is written. So I believe that it will, if you have this in mind and then begin to read this letter of Hebrews, it will be very helpful. Now this morning, we would like to look into the first exhortation. And this exhortation is given between 2 great revelations. We know that Hebrews chapter 1, generally speaking, give us the glory of the Son of God. And that certainly is a great revelation. And Hebrews chapter 2 is a revelation of the suffering of the Son of Man. Another great revelation. Chapter 1 reveals to us Christ in eternity. And chapter 2 tells us Christ in time. Chapter 1 emphasizes the person of our Lord Jesus. And chapter 2 emphasizes the work of our Lord Jesus. So these are the 2 greatest revelations that God has ever given to mankind. And in between these 2 revelations, there is an exhortation. And the exhortation is, as we have just read, for this reason. That is, for the reason of such great revelations, being given. We should give heed more abundantly to the things we have heard. Now, this is an encouragement. Give heed more abundantly to the things we have heard, lest in any way we shall slip away. That's a warning. That is to say, if we do not pay more attention to what we have heard, then we have the danger of being slipping away. Now, in this letter to the Hebrews, there are two keywords. One is let. Let us. Now, that is to encourage us. And the other keyword is lest, L-E-S-T. And that is the word of warning. And you find these two words are all over this letter to the Hebrews. And sometimes you'll find not the exact word let us, but similar words like we should. Just like in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, we should. And that is the same thing as let us. That's what we should do. If you go through the book, you will find, for instance, in chapter 4, verse 1, let us fear. And in the same chapter, you find that let us be diligent, seeking to enter into the rest. And in the same chapter, you find said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. And also in that same chapter, he said, let us enter boldly, approach boldly the throne of grace. And you'll find this again and again throughout the whole book of Hebrews. And the same thing is true with the word lest. We find that in chapter 2, lest we slip away. And then so on you will find lest we fail to enter into rest. And all these things you'll find all over this book of Hebrews. So just remember these two keywords, let and lest. And I think that will open up that whole book for us. We should take heed more abundantly to that which we have heard. Now, what have we heard? We heard what was given to us in chapter 1 and in chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews. Now, dear brothers and sisters, we will see that in these two chapters, we are given such tremendous revelation from God. We can say there is no greater revelation that you can find that are greater than in these two chapters. They are all inclusive. You'll find everything that is really in the very heart of God has been opened up to us. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we may hear something so often, so familiar, that somehow they do not register in our hearts. And that is the danger of it. So if you read Hebrews chapter 1, you find that our God is a God who speaks. He is a God who reveals. He is not one who hides, but He reveals Himself to us. In the old days, He has spoken through the prophets, many prophets, to our fathers, in many parts and in many ways. In other words, we have the whole Old Testament with us. God has spoken. And what He has spoken is recorded in what we call the Old Testament. Through the prophets, holy men of God, to our fathers, in many parts and in many ways. In other words, all these revelations, because the revelation is so tremendous, so God has to reveal to man gradually in pieces and in bits. And that's to prepare us for the greatest revelation that is coming. So in the Old Testament time, you'll find God through the prophets. He spoke in many ways and in many parts. But all these ways and parts actually are one. And then, in the last days, in our days, He has spoken to us in His Son. And there you'll find the revelation is complete. Because when He speaks through His Son, that is perfect. And He has spoken. So the revelation of God has been given. And what is the revelation? What is the mystery of God? The mystery of God is concerning His Son. All the mysteries of God are centered upon His beloved Son. To this Son, He has given all things. He has made Him heir of all things. And by His sons, the world was created. The universe was created by His Son. And it is this Son who holds the universe together by the power of His Word. And it is this Son who purifies the sins of the world. It is this Son, after He has accomplished the work of redemption, He has ascended on high and sitting at the right hand of the Most High. And to Him the Father has given everything. He is greater than all the prophets, because all the prophets prophesy about Him. He is greater than the angels, because the angels will worship Him. And His kingdom is everlasting. Everything will change. Even this whole universe will be destroyed and changed. But He remains the same. He is worthy to be worshipped. The Son of God. The eternal Son of God. And brothers and sisters, this is a tremendous revelation. You know the world, in spite of all its wisdom and knowledge, do not have this revelation. When our Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, he asked the disciples, whom does the word say, I, the Son of Man, am? And the world only recognized him as a great man, a great prophet, a great saint, a leader. But the Lord said, whom do you say that I am? You who have been with me, you ought to know me. And Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And our Lord Jesus, Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed. Because this is not something given to you by man, by flesh and blood. It is the Father in heaven who has revealed it to you. So, dear brothers and sisters, we find this is a great revelation. The revelation of our Lord Jesus as the Son of the living God. He is great. He is greater than everything. Now, this is only one side of the revelation. There's another side of the revelation, and that is given in chapter 2. We find that even though he was the Son of God, and yet, for some reason, and we know the reason why, he had to come to this earth to become a man. The Son of God, incarnated, to become a man, a little lower in position than the angels. And for the sins of man, he suffered. Because we are flesh and blood. Therefore, he took part in our flesh and blood in order to redeem us out of death into eternal life. And dear brothers and sisters, because of that, the Father will give everything to him, and one day everything will be put under his feet. He shall be the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Now, that is the revelation given us in chapter 2. So, dear brothers and sisters, here we find the greatest revelation in the whole universe. I believe we have heard this again and again. The person of our Lord Jesus. The Son of God, the Son of Man. We have heard many times the work of our Lord Jesus. The work of redemption. How he gave his blood for the remission of our sins. How he gave his body that we may have life and life eternal. We think we have heard this so often. It becomes so familiar to us. And somehow, brothers and sisters, we need some exhortation now. And the exhortation is, take heed more abundantly to what you have. Have we taken enough attention to the person and the work of our Lord Jesus? When we heard about the glory of the Son of God or the suffering of the Son of Man, did what we hear really enter into our heart? Did we pray over the words we have heard? Did we allow the Word of God work in our lives. These revelations are not just given for our enjoyment. These revelations are given to us that we may be transformed. Now, has the transformation been going on in our lives because of such great revelation? Why is it that we have heard and heard and heard, and somehow our lives do not measure up to what we have heard? The revelation has not become our vocation. Something is missing. Why is it that we are still occupied with the world so much? Why is it that we are still occupied with ourselves so much? Why is it that we are so influenced by people so much? Why is it we are still under the weather, as it were, under our environment? When things happen, we go under. Why? Why is it that we are not fully occupied with the Lord and with His work? We should be different. But why? Is it because we have not paid enough attention to what we have heard? We hear it and we do not hear it. Is gone. You remember in Matthew chapter 13, our Lord Jesus began to use parables to speak with the people. He changed his method of speaking. In the beginning of his ministry, he spoke plainly. But then after some time, he began to change his method of speaking into parables. Why? Because they hear and do not hear. They see and not see. Their heart has grown fat, and their ears have become heavy, and they close their eyes as asleep, lest the word of God will transform and deliver them. So, brothers and sisters, you'll find it comes down to a matter of the heart. Why is it that we have heard so much about the Lord, and there's so little of the Lord in our lives? Why? The problem is with our heart. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and incurable. No one knows the heart. God alone is the one who examines the heart and proves the reins." So, dear brothers and sisters, the heart is very, very important. If our heart is not there, no matter how much you hear, it slips away. It does not stay. It does not register. We confess that we do not know our heart. If anyone thinks that he knows his heart, he is deceived. Because that's what the word said. God alone knows our heart. So how do we come to know our heart? not by self-examination, introspection. There's only one way that we may know our heart, and that is to place our heart before God and let Him examine our heart. So I believe that the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 139, you find the psalmist conclude his psalm with these words: examine my heart, prove my thoughts, see if there is any grievous way in me. And in the original it says, see if there is any idolatrous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to place our heart before the Lord. Let Him examine our heart. Do not deceive ourselves thinking that our heart is good. That our heart is all for the Lord. Let Him examine it. Let Him prove our thoughts. And then we will see how often our hearts are divided. How often our hearts are in an idolatrous way. That is, aside from the Lord Himself, our heart is somewhere else. That He may lead us in the way everlasting. Solomon says in Proverbs, my son, give me your heart, and your eyes will delight my way. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Is our heart really pure before the Lord? Not only cleansed, but pure, single, holy unto the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, if our heart is really upon the Lord, we will hear what He has to say to us. And we will allow Him, He who is the Son of God and the Son of Man, He who has so great salvation, He will be able to work out that salvation in our lives. It's a matter of the heart. If our heart is right, our ears will hear. And our eyes will be single, and we will see. Then you'll find such great revelation will become living and operative in our lives. So, brothers and sisters, the exhortation is, pay more attention. More abundantly. Turn your heart to the Lord and let Him feel your heart. Now, if you do that, then you will be kept from the danger of slipping. So here you find the negative side. If you do not pay more attention to what you have heard, what will happen? You will slip away. Now the word slip away in the original has two meanings. And that's the reason why you find in different versions of the English Bible, it is being translated in different ways. In one way, it is translated as drifting. And the other thing is leaking. It is either drifting or leaking. And when it drifts, it slips. When it leaks, it slips. So here you'll find there are two dangers put before us. Now we know what drifting is. The picture is a boat. A boat is sailing. And it is supposed to sail to the haven or to the anchorage. But if you let the boat drift, that is, let the current carry it, instead of putting an effort into it and row the boat and keep the boat towards the anchorage or the haven, then you will find you will slip by and slip into danger. I remember a story was told. I don't know whether it is true or not, but it is a story. That a man was on a boat, and it was the stream, the river, that leads to Niagara Falls. And while he was in that boat on that river, the water was so calm, and he was enjoying the scenery. So he just lay back on the boat and let the boat drift. And you know, the current, if the boat is not being rowed, then of course it flows with the current. So the current gradually brings that boat on and on. And he was just lying there idly and enjoying the scenery, not knowing that gradually he was drifting towards the fall. And when he noticed it, it was too late. And that is drifting. Dear brothers and sisters, you know, in spiritual life, it is a life of effort, a life of diligence. This world has a curse. Not only the world has a current, the world within us, our flesh, has its current. And if we allow ourselves to drift, that is, we do not apply ourselves, be diligent, holding fast, we'll find ourselves drifting with the current. The world will carry us downstream until we come to the fall. Hence, too late. If we allow ourselves the current of our self-life to carry us and not deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow the Lord, we find we are drifting. And we will slip by. Brothers and sisters, are we drifting? What is our haven? What is our anchorage? What is our goal? Where are we heading? Is our Lord Jesus our goal, that we may gain Him? He has so great a salvation for us. And do we allow ourselves to drift? Should we not be stirred by the Spirit of God, especially in these last days? Brothers and sisters, it is very easy for us to drift. The current of the world is strong. The current of the self-life is strong. If you just allow it, it will sweep you by. It will slip by. And we all are exposed to this danger. I wonder, brothers and sisters, what is your spiritual condition today? Do you seek the Lord with your whole heart? Are you still denying yourself, taking up the cross and follow the Lord? Or because the current of the world is too strong, you have allowed yourself to be carried downstream? Or is it because your eyes is not fixed upon the Lord? You look upon people, you're disappointed, and you give up. Is it because you find the struggle of going upstream is too big, and you begin to relax, every relax? Where is your spiritual condition today? Do not deceive yourself. Be honest before the Lord. Is your spiritual condition right with the Lord? Is He still occupying your whole heart? Or somehow your heart is being stolen by something else? You're occupied with yourself, your self-righteousness. Justify yourself in everything, thinking that you're right, everybody's wrong, even the Lord is wrong. Where are you? The greatest danger among God's people today is drifting, because it is unconscious. You don't realize. And if you do not wake up on time, it's too late. Brothers and sisters, this is a time for us to wake up. Forget everything. Just concentrate on the Lord. And if you do that, your first love will be restored. The other meaning of slipping by is leaking. And the picture is a vessel. The vessel has a hole in it. You go to a well and fill the vessel with water. But when you are bringing it home, because there is a hole there, so the water has all leaked out. And when you get home, it's an empty vessel. And that is the picture of it. Brothers and sisters, is there some hole in our lives? So what you have heard has all been leaked away. They do not stay. They do not do the work. And if that is the case, you will find it is nothing. Emptiness. So the book of Hebrews warns the Hebrew believers. How can we escape if we neglect so great? Dear brothers and sisters, we have a great Savior, great Lord. And because of His greatness, He gave us a so great salvation. You know, the salvation in the book of Hebrews is not what we usually call initial salvation. And that is, we who were dead in sins and transgressions, we who had no hope, we who were going to hell. But thank God, in Christ Jesus, He has provided salvation for us. Because of His precious blood, our sins can be forgiven and are forgiven. And because He gave us eternal life, therefore, our eternity was secure, is secure. Now that is initial salvation. And that is the thing that most Christians are concerned with. But brothers and sisters, the book of Hebrews does not deal with initial salvation. It is built upon this initial salvation. It speaks of so great salvation. In other words, this salvation is not just leading us out of hell into heaven. This salvation is leading us into glory. So here you'll find Hebrews chapter 2, it says, leading many sons into glory. Our Lord Jesus, as the firstborn, He is leading many of His brethren into glory. We are not just to be bathed in Christ. We are to be sons and daughters, grown up, so that we may be led into glory and reign and rule with Christ. Brothers and sisters, have the kingdom in view. So this is the great salvation. Now, because we have such a great Savior and such a great salvation, so how shall we escape if we are negligent of so great salvation? It is not something small. Brothers and sisters, God's will is to lead us into glory, into the kingdom of God. Not just merely saved, but to rule and reign with Christ as kings and priests unto God. Now that is God's will. And that is what He has provided for us with so great salvation. But brothers and sisters, are we being negligent of such salvation? Bible said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. He that saves his soul life today shall lose it. But he who is willing to lose his soul life for my sake, the Lord said, he shall gain it to eternity. And that is the so great salvation. Are we aware of it? Are we just sitting back and saying, the cost is too much? Not knowing the grace even greater. And we just let it slip by. Let it go. How shall we escape? The law that was given through the angels. If anyone does not obey the law, or being negligent of it, they will have their just retribution. And that you find in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. When they do not take the law in heart, when they disobey the law, violate the law, you know what retribution came upon them. So the word of warning says, the word now that we have heard was first spoken by the Lord himself. And it is confirmed by those who heard, the apostles, and God by his Holy Spirit that bore witness to it. So it's a serious thing. Even more serious than hearing the law. Brothers and sisters, what we have heard, we are responsible for. God will require us according to what he has given to us. To whom he gives more, he requires more. In a sense, thank God, we are privileged. Because what we have heard and seen, as the Bible says, the Lord Jesus said, the prophets, the people in the old days, they are hoping to see what you have seen, to hear what you have heard, but they have not this privilege. But you are blessed because you have seen and you have heard. Brothers and sisters, thank God for that. But at the same time, a tremendous responsibility. We will not escape just retribution if we neglect so great salvation. It is not a small thing, brothers and sisters. People think greatly about initial salvation. Thank God, we understand it is a big thing. Many people are still blind, dumb, sleeping. They are not aware of eternity. But thank God, he has awakened us to this matter of eternity. And we have heard, we have believed. But brothers and sisters, we who are the Lord's, now there is so great salvation before us. Have we heard? Have we seen? And what is our attitude towards it? So I feel that we need a warning. You know, I struggle over this message. I asked the Lord many times, give me something else. But somehow I feel burdened in my heart. Maybe this is a time that we need an exhortation. Brothers and sisters, forget what is behind. Press forward. We do not have much time before us. We cannot waste our time. We cannot drift anymore. We cannot say, wait till tomorrow. This is the time. So may the Lord have mercy upon us. Be before the Lord. Ask Him to show us where we are. What is our spiritual condition today? Repent. Humble ourselves before the Lord. Ask Him to deliver us out of every situation and just restore our first love. Fill our hearts with Himself and with all that He has done for us and nothing else. May the Lord help us, shall we pray. Dear Lord, You have been so gracious and so merciful. You have revealed Yourself to us to such a great degree. You have shown us Your soul great salvation. And yet, Lord, we have to confess what You have given us, many have been lost. We have been drifting, leaking. Very few is left. O Lord, we do pray that Thy word, Thy Spirit, will speak to us. Awaken us as of a dream, that we may see our true condition before Thee, that we may repent in dust and ashes and look to Thy abundant grace to restore us to first love. Oh, that Thou will fill our hearts with Thyself, that we see no one but Jesus only. Oh Lord, that Thou will lead us all, that we may by Thy grace anchor in Christ, reach the goal to the praise of Thy glory. Do not let us by. O Lord, have mercy upon us as a people.